Good morning. Good to see you this morning. For those that I can see your smiling faces, it's good to see them. And for those that have your masks on, I hope you're smiling underneath. But good to see you. And to those that are in the church hall, we welcome you, and it's good to have you with us. You know, as we come to pray this morning, I've got a number of requests from people in the hall that they've given to us. First one's from Bonnie, and pray for God's peace to surround Fiona, I think it is, and Thelma and family. And so we need to be praying for that. Kathy just reminds us to pray for the many people affected by fires here and in the U.S. Boy, there's been a lot of that in California and in the Okanagan, and we certainly want to remember those people this morning. And then we have a few new people with us today, and we certainly welcome you. Thanks for being here. And Alicia is new with us, and she just asked for prayer for a deeper connection with each other and unconditional love. Boy, isn't that, we need lots of that today, unconditional love. Things are getting stranger as we go along, and we need to continually love each other. Julia asked if we could pray for she has a medical procedure that she's needing, and she sees her doctor this week to talk about it and wisdom. Do they go ahead with it, and what do they do? And Julia just asked our prayers for that. And then Julie, who's on the other side right now, Julie asked prayer for three of her friends and neighbors, Margaret Bono. She is the one with brain cancer, and her boys are arriving on Tuesday to come and see their mom and be with her, and just prayer that they would have a good time together as she is struggling with this cancer that's progressing. Also with Sean, who has breast cancer and is now into her bones and is struggling with that. And Isol has heart issues, and she asks us to continue to pray for those. So those are all people Julie has contact with and just ministering unto, and we want to remember those people. Anything from anyone in here that I haven't heard from? An update on Gary is, Gary had a procedure this week that they did a biopsy of his liver, and that went well. We're still waiting on results, is that right? Yes. Haven't heard anything back. I spoke to Gary on, I think it was Wednesday, and he was the brightest I have seen him or talked to him in a number of weeks, and that was really encouraged. How's Gary doing? Okay, Jennifer, thank you. So, right. So he's up and down, but he's having more good days than bad days, which is encouraging. So we're thankful for that, even though he had a bad day yesterday with more pain. But thank you, he's rebounding again today. So good. All right, well, let's pray. Father, as we are together, we thank you that, Lord, you are here in our midst. And thank you that you hear our prayers and you answer our prayers. And we pray, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. We think we know what's best, but so often we don't have a clue. And Lord, your ways are higher than our ways, and your ways are better than our ways. And we pray for these dear ones that are sick and struggling. And Lord, we would ask for your hand of healing to be upon them. But we pray for your perfect will to be done in their lives. We know we're not going to live here forever. And there's a time to be taken home to be with you. And Lord, we just pray that people are ready to meet their Maker. So we pray for Gary, and thank you that Gary is having more good days than bad days. And thank you for that. Thank you for the encouragement he's had this week, even though he had a bad day yesterday, that he was doing pretty good today. And we pray that as he awaits the results of the liver biopsy, Lord, that would give the doctors wisdom as to what to do there, too. We pray for Julia, that she would just Give her direction as to this medical procedure that she's contemplating and wondering about, and pray that she'll just have your peace to rest upon her. We think of the people that Julie has contact with, the ministers to Margaret and Sean and Isil, and Lord, for peace for each one of them as they're dealing with serious health issues. We pray that they would each one come to know the love and peace of God in their hearts and lives. And Lord, again, we would ask for your hand of healing to be upon them, but you know what is best, and we commit them to you. Thank you that Margaret's boys are able to come and be with her for right now, and may that just be a special family time, because who knows whatever days we have left. And Lord, for Thelma, too, that your peace would surround her, and thank you for Bonnie's input into her life. And Lord, for the people that are affected by the fires, people in California, so many that have lost homes, and Lord, people in the Okanagan, and just we commit that to you. We pray that the weather might be favorable and rain come and help to dampen these fires. Thank you for the firefighters, and we pray for safety over them. And Lord, we commit these times to you. Lord, we also think of this time of the COVID crisis that we are in and people that are struggling with the COVID. And the increases here in British Columbia and on Vancouver Island, and that's concerning, Lord. And we pray for protection. We pray for that we would be wise and not foolish until, Lord, we're able to better deal with this coronavirus and get a vaccine for it. And thank you for all those that are working so hard to try to come up with a vaccine and medications. And Lord, help us again to not be foolish, but to be wise in our conduct. And so we commit that to you. And now, Lord, as we open your word and go to it this morning, thank you for it. Thank you for the truth that's there. And thank you again for your spirit that you've given to us. And I pray that you just come and minister your word into our lives. You know what each one of us needs. And speak your truth now into our hearts and lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from John's Gospel, John chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading in verse 43. Some of this is what we read last week, but it will refresh our minds as we are there, and then continuing on. So John 1, verse 43 says, "The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' 'Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?' Nathanael asked. 'Come and see,' said Philip. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, 'Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false.' 'How do you know me?' Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, 'I saw you while you're still under the fig tree, before Philip called you.' Then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' And Jesus said, 'You believe because I told you I saw you under a fig tree? You shall see greater things than that.' And then he added, 'I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" And that's where I'm going to stop reading for this morning. You know, as we saw last week, one of the themes of this portion of Scripture is people finding people. They were finding one another, and people were finding Jesus, and Jesus was finding people. And you know, this is the way the gospel spreads. God has entrusted the spreading of the gospel to ordinary people like you and like me who interact with other people, and they bring them to Jesus. They point them to Jesus. You know, you might wonder that, about your own life, and maybe even you might even think and struggle as to, gee, what is my life? What have I accomplished? What have I done? Have I made any significant difference in anyone's life at all? And let me encourage us, you know, when you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is growing and deepening, and you know him, and you love him, and you trust him, and you experience him, do you know what happens? Out of the fullness of your heart, your mouth speaks. And here in John chapter 1, what we have, starting with John the Baptist, he's baptizing Jesus, and all of a sudden he sees a dove coming down out of heaven and resting on Jesus. And then he hears a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And John's going, "Wow." And he sees Jesus the next day and he's pointing, "Behold, the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God." And two of John's disciples, they hear John say this, and they leave John to follow Jesus. And John encourages it. "That's the one I'm talking about," John says. "Yes, off you go." One of those disciples that was a disciple of John and then started to follow Jesus was Andrew. And what does Andrew do? He immediately finds his brother Simon. And he says, "We found the Messiah." And he brings Peter to Jesus. And then Jesus bumps into Philip. And he says to Philip, "Follow me." And Philip runs off and he finds Nathanael and says, "We have found the one Moses and the prophets have written about." And Nathanael responds, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And Philip says, "Come and see. Find out for yourself." You know, that is really what witnessing is all about. It's saying, "I want to introduce you to Jesus." And that's what's happening here in John chapter 1. People finding people and introducing them to Jesus. And they're so many times discovering God has already been at work in people's lives, working and preparing people for what is about to take place. So we're looking at Nathanael this morning, and there are three things from what Jesus said to Nathanael that we're going to look at this morning. First of all, Jesus knew who Nathanael was. Then secondly, we're going to look at Jesus knew where Nathanael was. And then thirdly, we're going to look at Jesus knew what Nathanael would become. So first of all, Jesus knew who Nathanael was. And in verse 47, we read, "When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, 'Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false.'" In the old King James, it would say, "There's nothing guile." And I was always like, "What's guile? What's that?" It's just basically that here's an honest man, Jesus is saying. Here's someone that's honest. You know, that's a very nice thing to say about someone. But what caused Jesus to say that? Especially since he had never, ever met Nathanael until now. Well, if we go back a couple of verses to verse 45, we get a bit of a hint of why Jesus said that. In verse 45, it says, "Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph.'" Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. And you know, there we get this hint of who Nathanael was. You know, that's not the kind of a comment you would make if you want to make a good impression on someone. Let me just try and put it this way, to put it into our kind of context. You know, if you had a friend and we were all together and you were introducing me to your friend, and you'd say, "Oh, this is Peter. He's the pastor of our church in Cumberland." And your friend says, "Cumberland? Can anything good come out of Cumberland?" You know, it wasn't too long ago Cumberland had a really bad reputation. It's amazing how much Cumberland's changed in the last 10 plus years. But, well, I missed that. That's because Julia moved here. All right. That's why it had a bad reputation? Or no, okay. You know, that's not the kind of response if you want to make a good impression. And Jesus' response to Nathanael is, "Here is an Israelite in whom there is nothing false." In other words, he speaks the truth. You know, Nazareth was not a town that ranked high on the tourist ratings. It had a reputation. Cumberland had a reputation. There was a time it wasn't high on the tourist, you know, reputation for tourists to come. It's changed now. Everybody wants to come to Cumberland. But Nathaniel, my point is, was just being honest. You know, I'm sad to say that honesty is not a big value in our society today. Correctness is, but honesty isn't. We would never say or think of saying what Nathaniel said. It's not politically correct. And one of the things that the Bible presents to us is brutal honesty about ourselves, not political correctness. God desires us to be true, to be honest about ourselves and about the problem that we are in. And often we fail to face the truth about ourselves. We don't talk a lot about sin these days. We talk about poor choices. Oh, they just made a poor choice. Or they had a lack of judgment. Or, you know, I had a lapse in character. I'm really a good person, but I don't know what made me do that. That's not me, but I just had a lapse of character. How many times have we heard that in recent times? We cover it up. And the real issue is I have a sin nature. I have a sin nature that I battle against doing the wrong things all the time. I am a sinner. You know, Paul came to that spot. Paul comes to that very honest place. And in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, we read there, Paul says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. You know, it's hard to come to terms with, man, I'm a sinner. Another verse that is very familiar to us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, we read this there, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, it says if we confess our sins. It doesn't say if we confess our poor choices or our lack of judgment or our lapse in character, but if we confess our sin, which are all the things that we do that are in direct rebellion against God. You know, I've got to be honest and say I've come to see really about the only two good things about Peter Raby are, number one, Jesus Christ. And number two is his wife. The rest, you got to just watch carefully. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, we read there, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Who can understand it? Our heart is deceitful and beyond cure. Nathaniel was a man who Jesus could deal with. Why? Because he was honest. There was no deceit in his mouth. And we must be honest with God. Yes, I am a sinner. We need to be honest with each other. So often we try to make things look like I'm really good and boy, aren't I lucky and look at me. If you only knew half the stuff about me. So Jesus knew who Nathaniel was. He was a man that spoke the truth. That's first off. Second, Jesus knew where Nathaniel was. Look at verse 48. It says there, how do you know me? Nathaniel asked. And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw you under a fig tree. Before Philip ever called you, I saw you, Nathaniel. God sees us. We can't hide from him. He is watching. The Bible so often speaks of the eyes of the Lord, and they're always looking, they're always searching, they're always seeing. Last week we read from 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, and we read there, For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is always looking. His eyes were right now at that moment on Nathanael. And where he saw him was under a fig tree. Now, I want to be careful here, and I say this with a little hesitation. I don't want to read too much into this. But, you know, fig trees, they have kind of a clouded history throughout the scriptures. Let me give you a few examples why I say that. Adam and Eve, when they ate the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, one of the things that happened that day is they became aware and embarrassed of their nakedness. So what did they do? They covered themselves with fig leaves. And God rejected that covering, and he made them clothes of skin. It's almost as if the fig leaves represented the human attempt to cover up their mistake, their wrong, their sin. And God said, "You're not being honest. Here, this is what I provide for you." Another example, during Jesus' last week before his crucifixion, you might recall that he passed by a fig tree that was full of leaves, but it had no fruit on it. And Jesus cursed the tree. And the next day when the disciples went by, they passed by the tree and it all withered up. And the disciples asked Jesus, "Why did you do that to the fig tree?" And Jesus never gave them an answer. But here was a tree that looked good. It had beautiful big leaves. It had plenty of foliage, but it had no fruit. It was just an external display of leaves. And then another time, Jesus told a story, a parable of a fig tree. And in Luke chapter 5, let me read this to you real quickly. Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." And that's the end of the story. And you're kind of left scratching your head, asking yourself, what in the world is that all about? And Jesus never explained it. But the context around the story is that Israel lacked a true relationship with God. Israel engaged in all kinds of religious stuff, but there was no fruit, no spiritual life. And then Jesus told them this parable of the fig tree. And it would seem that the scriptures represent the fig tree as the efforts that look good on the outside, but something was concealed. There was no fruit. You know, fig leaves are big and make a good place to hide. Are you trying to hide from God? Is there something in your life you think that God doesn't know about? And you think you've got it well hidden? Know that God knows. Your life might look wonderful to everyone outside and around, but inwardly there are big problems, and you know there are problems, and you have problems. Are you hiding under a fig tree today? Adam and Eve were trying to hide their nakedness under fig leaves. They didn't hide it from God. Are you hiding maybe behind some good works or some reputation or some self-sustaining ability, seeking to look good up front so that everyone will think that you're wonderful? It looks beautiful on the outside, but you're just covered up all the issues that are haunting you. Now, I admit, I have just read a lot into this. Whether it's true or not, what I'm saying as far as that, the point I want to make is are you being honest about yourself, Or are you thinking you're hiding stuff from God and others around? Do you know God knows all about it? You know, Nathanael's response in verse 49, his response was, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. In other words, anyone who sees under a fig tree and knows who you really are, whoa, you've got to be the Son of God. I find that interesting because, you know, so often we think of the Apostle Peter as the first one to recognize who Jesus was. Peter said, and you read it in Matthew 16:16, when Jesus said to him, who do people say that I am? And they said, oh, some think you're Elijah, and some think you're John the Baptist with your head back on, and all of this. And Peter, and he, Jesus turned to Peter and said, who do you say think that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was about halfway through Jesus' ministry. And Peter, the light went on. Here we are at the very beginning. Jesus has just been recently baptized. He's just calling people, his disciples, to follow him. And Nathanael, right from the get-go, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So Jesus knew who Nathanael was. He knew where Nathanael was. And now thirdly, Jesus knew what Nathanael would become. Verse 50. You believe because I told you I saw you under a fig tree? You shall see greater things than that. And then Jesus added in verse 51. He said, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You know, you might ask, what in the world is that all about? I don't know. There's nothing that I can point to in the scriptures that is like that at all. There is a similar event in the Old Testament. If you go back to the story of Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel, Jacob went to sleep one night and he had a dream. And in his dream, there was a ladder going from heaven to earth and the angels ascending and descending on this ladder. It seems to be kind of the same kind of image. That's the closest thing I can get to it. Jesus is referring to here. But I can't help but wonder if this is saying, Nathanael, there is now a link between heaven and earth, and that link is the Son of God. It is Jesus Christ. And Nathanael, you are going to see before your very eyes the working of God right before your very eyes. And you know what's interesting after this? Right after this, Nathanael disappears. And we never read his name again until John chapter 21. And in John chapter 21, Jesus has been crucified. He's been resurrected. The disciples had gone out fishing, like, what are we going to do now? And they all went out for a night of fishing. And it just happens to say there that one of the ones that went with Peter out fishing was Nathanael of Canaan. There's a little bit of information there that becomes very, very interesting. Nathanael of Canaan. Now, when, of course, John wrote what we now have as the Gospel of John, there weren't chapter divisions and verses. That was all added later so we could get around and find our way throughout the scriptures easily. So we have written here this what happened about Nathanael, and that he shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, and it immediately goes on to, on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Oh, guess what? That's Nathanael's home. We find out about it later. That's where Nathanael lived. And there was a wedding, and Jesus and the disciples were invited. And there they are at this wedding. And they run out of wine. And Jesus' mother hears about it, and she goes to Jesus and says, hey, they've run out of wine. And what can you do about it? And Jesus' response was pretty interesting. In verse 4 it says, dear woman, why do you involve me? Why, my time has not yet come. And I love his mother's response. She didn't respond to him. She just turned to the servants and said, do whatever he tells you. You know, that is the best advice anyone could ever give or receive. Do whatever he tells you to do. I've come to think those are some of the most profound words in Scripture, out of the mouth of Mary. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. So Jesus turns to the servants and he says, fill up the water jars, the jars there with water. Okay? They do it. Now go and give some to the master of the banquet. You gotta be kidding. It's just water. Do it. And the master of the banquet, could you imagine being one of those servants? You've just put water in those jars, and now you're being told to go and take that to the master of the banquet. I'd be shaking in my boots like my life is now over. I am dead meat. And the master of the banquet tasted what the servants knew was water, and it was the best wine he had ever tasted. You know, God does amazing things through ordinary people like you and like me. Ordinary people with our sin and our weaknesses and our failures. So long as we are honest about ourselves and recognize in ourselves there dwells no good thing, I know what my heart's like. I know if I thought if I could get away with something that, you know, could pull the wool over someone's eyes or do something that was, I know what I have the potential of doing. But I also now have given my life to the Lord Jesus. And when you give your life to him, you surrender your life and you say, Lord Jesus, please come and take over my life and live and be. And be my strength and be my life. Be my Savior. And you know, without you knowing it, Jesus all of a sudden starts to use you to bless others. You see, that's what we have here in John chapter 1. What we have is one person finding another person and bringing them to Jesus. And here, come, find Jesus. Come see for yourself. Find out for yourself. And you know, by Acts chapter 17, these people had turned the world upside down. Actually, let me rephrase that. By Acts chapter 17, God had used these people to turn the world right side up. And so here we are in Cumberland. And you and I are water. We know what we are. I'm nothing special. We're just people. We're water. When poured out, becomes wine to those that Jesus have called us to. Ones that you're praying for. Your neighbors that you're coming alongside of that are sick and you're just trying to encourage and you take a pie to or something and you're seeking to minister to them. God will put us in touch with the right people at the right time in the right place in his own way. And you will be amazed. It's just water. But look what God has done. It's God. Let's pray. Lord, we're nothing special. Well, I can only speak for myself. But, oh, man, at times, to stand back and be amazed, look what you have done. I can't do it, but you did it. And, Lord, for each one of us, we can't do it. But, Lord, we pray that we will just allow you to take our lives as they are and to empower them with your spirit and yourself. And just like this miracle in Canaan, that we'll allow you to will be poured out like water and it becomes wine to the people that receive it. And it's a miracle. We don't know how it's done, but you did it. And Lord, I pray that our lives filled with you will be a blessing to those around. That you'll put us into the right place at the right time and that you will powerfully work to do your work around us. Right here in Cumberland and the Comox Valley. Lord, that there be transformation for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.